A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable.
A man had two sons, and the younger son said to the father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them, and after a few days the younger son collected all his belonging and set off for a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him anything.
Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? Here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father.
While he was still a long way off, the father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered the servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began."
Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called to one of the servants and asked them what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf, because he has come back safe and sound." He became angry and refused to enter into the house. His father came out and pleaded with him. He looked to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. And yet you never even gave me a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughtered the fatted calf."
He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Sisters, brothers, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How many people have heard this gospel story before? And more than 10 times, probably more than 100 times. It is one of those powerful stories of the Bible that invites us into studying and reflecting the Son and the Father and the other Son. But I'd invite us tonight to focus on just one phrase, and that is this phrase: his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. His father caught sight of him. This last few weeks, one of our staff has been working out a relationship for a while, and he came to work and was in heaven because he had finally got up the nerve and proposed to his sweetheart, given her a ring, and she said yes. How many other people have ever proposed and was told yes? A few people in the room. A few days later, I was called to the bedside of a patient at the hospital. It was a young couple. The young man had been in a car crash and died. And as I walked his young wife into the room to see her beloved, the tears poured out, and she gazed upon her husband of love. This morning, Nancy Reagan died. And all the comments that come in are about how she loved devotedly her husband and walked him through those years after his divorce and his governorship and his presidency, and walked him through and helped him see the need to bring a wall down and to pull two massive nations to a place of lowering nuclear weapons. And that gaze of hers continued in his twilight years when he did not remember her or those other memories. It might have been on the day when you saw your child for the first time, or your nephew or niece or someone, and as you looked on that little child, there was a gaze that you can't quite put words to. But it's in a gaze of amazement and of love. It's a gaze when you look at someone who had been working so hard to pass a class or a certificate program, and they walk back in the house, and you can see that they didn't pass. And your gaze at that young person, that friend, that family member, that spouse, is filled with love and compassion. It's that gaze when someone who knows someone in a 12-step program walks in and you know that someone slipped, and you still look at that loved person, friend or sponsoree, and they know in that gaze that they are still welcomed and loved. Tonight we are invited in the Scripture to allow God to gaze on us with a gaze that is complete, absolute, and forever. It is a gaze, as the Scripture calls it, he looked at the Son with love and filled with compassion. In this year of mercy, Pope Francis and the Scriptures has invited us to let go of those things that divide us, that judge us, that separate us, that put some people here and some people here, some people welcome, some unwelcome. And he invites us into that embrace and that gaze of God. Sometimes those gazes are rather few and far between. And you have to kind of remember that gaze of someone 5 or 10 years ago. Some of those gazes are daily. When you look at your child or your parent or your spouse or a friend, and you know that they want the best for you. That they're willing sometimes when things get tough to continue to gaze and affirm and love and bless you. I invite us this night to be open to God's gaze upon us. The Father gazed upon this Son who had just taken everything, used everything, abused everything from a world's perspective, and this Father looked at his Son with love, with compassion. That is the embrace of God for us. We say that as a church, whether it's an unborn child or someone on death row, whether it's someone who causes a car accident or is the victim of a car accident, that God's gaze of mercy is on each of us. And sometimes we can't understand that because at a certain point you and I want to divide ourselves up. You know, she deserves what she gets. He pushed the envelope. He did it 10 times. Whatever the line we have, and we say that mercy has limits, God's gaze stops. And the Bible reminds us tonight, the church reminds us tonight, that God's gaze is eternal, is forever, unconditional. God's gaze is to each one of us, unique, loved, held in the embrace of God. And whenever we return, whether we're the prodigal son that did some shameful things and comes back and says, Father, forgive me, or whether the elder son that's kind of looking judgmentally and saying, you know, I've been coming to church every week, every day. I've been doing all the good stuff. And why do these people get welcomed back? Why is God's mercy for them? It is for them, and it's also for you. Older son, father says, I will always love you. Everything I have is yours. But when this son of yours, brother of yours, the son of mine, returns, I have to welcome him with that gaze. So as we continue with our liturgy, I invite us to be aware of who in our life have we received a gaze of mercy and love from? Who has gazed upon us and we knew in our spirit and our hearts that they would always love us? Whom have we gazed upon and they understood that that love was unconditional? Who in our life might we need to change our gaze from judgment to compassion? Who might we need to change our gaze of hatred or bitterness or brokenness to a gaze of hearing their story, listening to their pain, journeying with their story? Very often in a hospital, a person can come in and we can say, well, the reason why you have cancer is you smoked all your life, and we can easily move to that place. And the reason why you got in a car accident was because you were driving too fast or you had too much to drink. Or we can look at a perpetrator and say, well, you're the one that caused the person in the other room her pain, his pain. So I'm going to take care of this person, but not this person. TV movie shows about hospitals at some point always come to a moment when a doctor or nurse is confronted with taking care of a perpetrator, and there's that struggle. Do I give them this medicine to either ease the pain or to help them, or do I say, you know, you caused this, and so I'm going to hold back health care? It's all around us, and the invitation from the gospel is to break through all that and know that God gazes on each of us in our own journey. God gazes upon us with a love that is forever and a compassion that is as deep as the ocean and as grand as the universes. These weeks, as we approach Holy Week and Good Friday and Easter, these days in which the parish here will have retreats and evenings of reflection, they're all moments for us in the midst of our busy days and our busy life to let God gaze upon us with love, with mercy, with forgiveness, with compassion. And they're equally days in which God wants to mentor you and me to be the gazers on others. To gaze upon someone who might be homeless that's asking for a bucket, the car, and you either say, I can't give them anything, but do I gaze back and say, "You worthless fool, what's wrong with you? Can't you get a job?" Or do we gaze back and say, "I don't have anything, sorry, but I wish you a blessing today. I wish you hope today. What is your name? What is your story?" One of the gifts of this community is our food pantry and the program here that serves those who come. And we can either say, "Oh, those people are paying to us," or they're somehow invitations by God for us to be the presence of compassion. The scripture invites us into a powerful story of father and two sons. But tonight I invite us to reflect, while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. May we experience that gaze, and may we be instruments of that gaze to others.